Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with Alan Bagnell, who is the Chaplain and Director of Pastoral Services with Driscoll Children's Hospital. How are you, Chaplain Alan?
Very good. Again, it's been very good to get to know you a little bit before we actually started recording.
Well, I'm familiar to an extent with being a chaplain. I took one unit of clinical pastoral education, and I really fell in love with it, really fell in love with the ministry. It's been many years, but at one point in my life, I hope to go back to that. Let's go ahead and get to know you a little bit. Can you tell us about yourself?
Well, I was raised here in Corpus. My family goes back to the turn of the last century here in Corpus. I graduated from Ray High School. I left Corpus to go to college here in Texas, and then went to graduate school in Kentucky. I've been back here in Corpus now about 22 years. A couple of those doing clinical pastoral education at Memorial, or Christus Memorial now, and then coming on 20 years at Driscoll. So it's been an incredibly short, long time.
Well, congratulations on 20 years.
Thank you.
Tell me, why become a chaplain? We'll talk about what a chaplain is a little later, but what made you fall in love with being a chaplain?
One of the things that I enjoy most about ministry is being with people. In one-on-one or in very small groups. I don't need to preach to hundreds or thousands of people. I enjoy the small group. And being in the hospital with people and walking with them through the worst point of their life generally, and being able to hold their hand either literally or figuratively and walk out the other side with them, means more to me than most people will ever imagine.
Well, there's a great element of service, mm-hmm. and serving another person. Like you said, during very difficult hardships, they might be on the brink of death. They might have a terminal illness. Can you give us some examples of some of the things you do as a chaplain?
Well, I tell people at the hospital, we minister to three different groups of people: the patients, their families, and also the third group that we minister to is the staff. So any day, people will say, well, what's a normal day like? Well, no day is exactly the same from one day to the next. And so some days there are families that come in and months ago in a tragic situation, and now they're leaving today, and they're so ecstatic to be able to get back to their life. So it's been very fun to walk with them through the horror that they began their hospitalization with, but then to see the smiles and the staff laughing with them and taking pictures as they're going out the door. Those are really incredible times. There are other times when it really is sad because the family has no idea what they're in store for when they come to the hospital and they leave without their child. And to walk through that valley of the shadow of death, so to speak, with that family, and to have them say when they leave, I really appreciate the fact that you were with us through this awful time. It made this horrible time almost bearable. So to be able to hear that from a family is really a wonderful thing. Ministering to the staff, one of the things that I enjoy most, if you went with me over to the hospital right now, there's hardly a group of any size that we could get together that I couldn't point to somebody in that group that I didn't get to do their wedding for them. And so people say, well, what church are you at, chaplain? Well, I'm not really at a church. My ministry is here at the hospital, and I really don't have time to do it the way that I wish that I did. But my congregation, so to speak, changes every day with the families that are coming in. I had a family call me today because they wanted to pray before they went in for a procedure. Mm-hmm. I knew them from when we had talked earlier about the neonatal intensive care unit.
Yes.
I knew them from the NICU right after the little one was born. And then when you get to know them like that, when they keep coming back for other procedures or follow-ups or whatever, I always tell them, you better call me when you come because I want to see this little one as they grow up. And Grandma called me this morning to make sure that I was going to find them. And I told her, well, I've been at the hospital since about 5 this morning. I was just waiting for y'all to get up and be ready before I came to find you to pray with you. But I did. And those are the times, the connections that continue that really mean a lot.
So it seems as though you build relationships, and with some of the families, or most of them, you want to build long-lasting relationships, especially those that have been there for many months, mm-hmm. and you visit it with them from beginning to the end until they're ready to get out of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you say it's important for hospitals to have chaplains?
Driscoll is different than a lot of hospitals because, for instance, you may go to Dallas Children's. Well, it's in Dallas. Or you may go to Texas Children's and it's in Houston. But Driscoll is different in the fact that if you draw a line from Laredo, just south of San Antonio, to Victoria, most everything south of that line to the border, and even some in the northern part of Mexico, under that line, come to Driscoll. I think we minister to about 32 different counties. Well, it's one thing if you're in the same town, your pastor, your priest, your rabbi, whoever, is probably going to be able to come by and check in on you while you're there. But we get a lot of people that come from a long way, and it's very difficult for those people's local minister to be able to come and see them.
I see.
So one of the things that we're allowed to do is to stand in the gap, so to speak, with those families when their religious leader can't be there, and that gives us an opportunity, well, sometimes literally to hold their hand till those people are able to get there in some of the worst situations. But a lot of times they come in, they just need somebody to talk to, pray with them, they get well, and they go home, and they're pastor, priest, rabbi was never able to get over to be with them, but we're allowed to be able to do that.
Or you're able to connect them with someone here in the local community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they really need somebody, yeah, we have people or churches, et cetera, that are close by the hospital that we send them to, because sometimes they're looking for on a Sunday for a particular religious service. They may be Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, whatever. And we can say, okay, right over here, there's a local congregation that you can go to for the worship service, be ministered to, and we connect them that way. Sometimes they want somebody to come by, but a lot of times they just need somebody to come in and talk to them and really listen.
Well, because they're scared.
Someone is
ill or they're ill. It might have happened suddenly, mm-hmm. and they need a friendly face to mm-hmm. come and support them.
One of the things that I will always remember, and like I said, I've been at Driscoll for 20 years, so this story goes back a long way, but I got a call from a nurse that said, "Chaplain, this mom really needs somebody to talk to." But I asked her if I could call the chaplain, and she said, "Well, no, that's okay. I'm all right." And she said, "What do I do?" And I said, "Well, I'll just go and play stupid and tell her that I try and meet everybody, and we'll go from there." She really did need somebody to talk to, because the ministry started upstairs, went down to the chapel, went back upstairs to the room,
to
the bedside. I was with her for an hour and a half. But the funny thing was, in that conversation, I found out why she said no to the chaplain, because she thought that the person coming would be from another religion than hers. And so when she found out that I was just going to talk to her, and she wasn't going to be able to figure out what religion I came or denomination I came from. And so she really did need somebody to talk to for a long time, and we talked and prayed and talked some more. But it's important for a chaplain to be able to be there to fill that gap.
So you need to be familiar then as a chaplain with many different denominations, different faiths, different walks of life, in order to understand where the people are coming from.
Right, because sometimes the language that the people use comes from a particular denomination or religion, and having that background and being able to, well, understand the language of Zion, so to speak, you can help translate that for the rest of the staff to know the words they're saying don't mean what y'all think they're saying, and being able to help the rest of the team to be able to minister more effectively to that family.
So when you say team, you're talking about the nurse, the doctor, the patient themselves, the chaplain, anyone else in that team?
Their respiratory therapist, there are, you name it, but the people that are at their bedside. All of those people are working together to get that little person well and out of there.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
This year's Diocese of Corpus Christi Middle School Youth Spectacular, for those in grades 6 through 8, will be held at the Regional Fairgrounds in Robstown on Sunday, September 21st. The absolute last day to register is September 10th. This year's event takes its theme, The Family Fully Alive, from Pope Francis, who often speaks of the importance of the family in our lives. There'll be great speakers, uplifting praise and worship music, games, adoration, and closing Mass with Bishop Mulvey presiding. For more information, call the Diocese Office of Youth Ministry, 882-6191.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. It's a pleasure to have you all with us. Again, I'm here with my guest, Alan Bagnell, who is the Chaplain and Director of Pastoral Services with Driscoll Children's Hospital. We've been having a great conversation, and it's really bringing back memories of when I was doing clinical pastoral education. Being able to walk with people and, like you said, hold their hand and be there during very difficult times is really an amazing opportunity and way to serve the Lord and to serve one another. Mm-hmm. And it takes a certain person to be a chaplain. What would you say to that?
Yes. Before I answer that question, I will say I want to add the word privilege.
Yes.
It really is a privilege when somebody opens their life to you at the worst or the best time and allows you to be in their life with them. And so it really is a privilege to walk with them and to go from there. But it does take I think a special person, whether that's me or whoever has the name badge
special
on.
Special certain qualities.
Right. I think some of those qualities are they really have to be a good listener and really maybe a fixer, be able to fix things, but not necessarily, because there aren't any magic words. There isn't a magic wand that you can wave. And there are a lot of people that when they enter a room or when they're with somebody like that, they try and fix it. Well, you may have some things that you can share with that person, some experience of your own or other people that you've seen, but to be able to listen and not be judgmental or trying to fix the situation, but really letting them talk to you. Again, the privilege of being allowed into their life to the point where you've had clinical pastoral education. One of the things that they train you in that is to be able to step back from whatever you're in to look at the encounter and what's going on. What am I feeling? What am I doing? And one of the things to be able to step back from those situations and go, I cannot believe what this person is sharing with me right now. And so it really is a privilege. And I've had people through the years who have told me, I can't believe all the stuff that I've told you or that I know other people have told you. And I'll tell them, well, it really is an honor to know that people are going to tell you that, because they know I'm not going to tell anybody those kind of things. They go, one of the other chaplains that I work with, she says that I'm just a vault. When those things go in,
they stay there.
And so I'm not going to betray those confidences or to betray that privilege of somebody allowing me to walk with them.
Or to be judgmental.
Right. Right.
Yes, yeah, like you said earlier.
And there are people that they already know what the conversation is going to be, and all you need to do is sit back and let them tell you what you need to know. Well, I'm not that person.
And I think that's important for the patient on the other side or a family member, because they've probably been judged left and right. And when it comes down mm-hmm. to this vulnerable time in their life where something has happened and someone is in the hospital, what they need is to be heard. Mm-hmm. Or what they need is just to have someone sit near them and maybe not even say much, but just to be there. So presence, I would say, is important. Mm-hmm.
Well, presence and my image of pastoral care comes from the New Testament. One of the names that the Holy Spirit was called, the Paraclete, the one called alongside, coming from the image of the lawyer going to the bar to stand beside you when in that time of need. Well, that's what I really believe being a chaplain, pastoral care, mm-hmm. is all about, is to sit beside that person, to walk with them, to listen to them. And a lot of times it literally is in the valley of the shadow of death. But for them to know, there may not be another person around me, but I'm not alone. That whole incarnation, somebody with skin on, to be able to walk with them and to know I may not have all the right words. I may even mess up and say a lot of things, looking back, thinking, gosh, I wish I hadn't have said that. But for them to know this person cares and this person is walking with me no matter what happens right now.
Well, and when you were talking just right now, I couldn't help but think of the word love. You talk about care and how we're called to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And mm-hmm. regardless of their denomination, we are called to love mm-hmm. in any situation, whether good, bad, or otherwise. And you're there mm-hmm. for those good and those bad times. In the hospital. Now, particularly with children, I can imagine there's a different tone with adults than there is with children. They're just so innocent and mm-hmm. Sometimes clueless, or maybe they're even a baby or an infant. So can you tell me just what it means to be a chaplain to children?
It's a privilege, because now at most hospitals you can't get above the first floor if you don't have some sort of an ID. It's always been like that since I've been at Driscoll, because the hospital really tries to protect their children. And so to be allowed to be one of those people to go up again in some of those areas where they don't have family around, to mm-hmm. be able to sit and watch TV with them, watch movies with them.
So you're saying there's some children whose families maybe can't visit them all the time.
Well, just because you go to the hospital doesn't mean the bills don't keep coming mm-hmm. and daddy's got to go to work mm-hmm. or mommy's got to go to work. And so we're trying to do that shift work. And when I can't be there, you'll be there,
yes.
sort of a thing.
Okay.
To be able to be there, the nurses, the staff really are outstanding in being that surrogate family when family isn't around. But sometimes they need to go on to the next patient for a few minutes. So, hey, chaplain, can you go in and look in on this little girl, this little boy? So you're allowed to go in and laugh and let them do silly things for you, with you. And they have some incredible places on the floors for the children and the video games and stuff like that. And so there's one little guy that I've been knowing since he was born, and that's been 12, 13, 14, 15 years ago. But my joke with him all the way back to the beginning was, I knew you just after you were born, and now watching you play these video games, I don't understand them, but can I just sit back behind you and watch you do it? Because for me, it's like watching TV while you're doing that. But they really like to be the expert, so
to
speak.
And to teach you.
Right. And there's a lot of times when they know, no, all the time, they know a lot more about those video games than I do.
So I just caught something, and you did say this earlier, that you met with this particular young person when they were born, and 13, 14, 15 years later, they're still, for some reason or another, having to go back to the hospital, mm-hmm. and you're able to, since you've been there now going on 20 years, you've been there to walk along their side. I mean, what a relationship that builds.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny because I tell the parents, the children grow up, and I may not recognize them from one visit to the next, but I will always recognize you as the dad or you as the mom. Y'all don't change nearly as much as the little people do.
Is there a particular story, or as we near our interview, a particular story that's really close to your heart that you always maybe go back to and think about every once in a while?
There's a lot of those kinds of stories, and it almost, the story that comes to mind is usually the from what's going on that day.
Okay.
And so a lot of times, well, it's really happy and sad sometimes, because watching television, it reminds you of that mom 15 years ago that she never had another child. I mean, this was her first child. And to come in and literally watch her grow before your eyes for the few months that her child is alive.
Oh.
And then the child is gone. But to watch her go from a little girl to a young lady while she's in the hospital like that. And I say a little girl, but you know, most of them are adult, but it doesn't matter. The more gray hair I get, the younger everybody looks. And so when you see them looking so young and innocent as a new mom or a new dad, but really watch them mature before your eyes, really is an incredible thing, especially when most of them get to go home and live happily ever after. And then I always tell them, this is my email address. I expect a picture of that little guy when y'all get home. And I've got a lot of families that continue to send me pictures through the years.
Well, because chaplains make a big difference in people's lives.
That's my belief.
I wish you all the best in your ministry, and congratulations on 20 years as a chaplain. I pray that all of the children there at Driscoll Children's Hospital get some relief from our Lord and the Paraclete. And I'm glad that you're using that imagery of the Paraclete and walking alongside all of these children and staff and parents. Stay with us. Sacred Moment with Deacon Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Remember a time when you stood up too quickly and felt dizzy? Or maybe a time when your hands or feet fell asleep, that sensation of numbness or pins and needles? And then let's not forget those times when something seemed to hurt in your bones and your mother told you it was just growing pains. As we age, we might forget these moments, but other, newer expressions of change come to us through our bodies. Expressions like aching joints or stiff muscles, graying or thinning hair, or facial wrinkles that tell our story. With the passage of the years, we begin to forget even these moments of discovery. We might wake up one day and suddenly realize that we are old or getting older and wonder at the shortness of life. This can happen to us at any age, from our teen years through our 80s, and when it does, we usually stop and reflect on how much or how little we have accomplished in life. This in turn may lead to new dreams and visions, grand memories, or great regret. As our dreams and visions become distant memories, or perhaps regret, we begin to think of it as a problem. We often try to console ourselves by thinking that life has dealt us a different hand of cards than the one we had hoped for or planned for ourselves. Regardless of how we see it, it is good to recall our past, but only for the purpose of always allowing it to point forward to where we are going, to that end where we encounter eternity and God. When we hold on to the past, we dwell on lost opportunities or focus on regret. We fail to see life, with all of its struggles and joys, as a gift from God, who wants nothing more than for us to share in His eternal life. That is what we should be concerned about, not the past or what has been or might have been. Our Lord tells us not to store up earthly treasures that decay. Rather, He tells us, where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. If we treasure eternal life with God, then our greatest desire and passion should be directed toward that treasure. Our memories and experiences should all remind us of this great longing. Everything we do should be directed by this desire, keeping our eyes set firmly on the goal. Jesus also tells us, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Stay awake, stay alert, and be aware of where you are and what is happening around you. If we do this, we'll be ready to embrace the opportunities God gives us to encounter Him in our everyday moments and in our encounters with others. Are you awake? Where is your heart? May God illuminate your heart to see your life in light of your eternal destiny, and may your labors of love be led by your desire to spend eternity with God. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Chaplain Alan Bagnall. If you would like more information or if you would like to write to him, call 361-694-5491 or write to him at alan.bagnall@dchstx.org. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.